You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
What up, Hard Drive Radio Radicals? Paulie here, sitting in the lovely Atlantic Records office. I am joined now by Lizzie Hale and Josh Smith of Hailstorm. What's up, guys?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, man. A lot's up. We got a new single out today.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas morning. It's awesome.
That's right. New song, Uncomfortable, dropped this morning, and I've already listened to it about 20 times over.
You poor thing.
Come on, man. It's a great song. You know, you guys, it's got, I feel like, a real, like, thrashy riff coming in that first time. So tell me a little bit about, you know, writing this song and what went into it and where your heads were at.
This is one of the first songs that we ended up kind of, that ended up coming together for this record. We did this record with Nick Raskulinitz, and he was there from, you know, the gestation process through pre-pro through making the record, and then the 11th hour, it's the whole thing. So in the beginning, one of the things that, you know, really troubled us was it's our fourth record. We had no idea what to do. Our amazing A&R guy, Pete Gamberg, came over and he's just basically said, hey, man, you know me, I always have an agenda, but this time I have no agenda, so go write your record and let me know when you think it's done. And so we're like, what do we do, you know? And so we basically, you know, we sat when we were talking to Nick, he basically said, well, when was the last time that the four of you just kind of got together and jammed and started with, you know, kind of music first? It's like, man, it's been years since that happened, you know? So this particular song ended up starting as an instrumental and then kind of took it from there, and it became and then it made the cut every single time, you know?
Yeah, it's got an engine on it, as you can tell. Yeah, it just thing doesn't let up. And it was a fun journey making that. And I feel it's funny. I feel like we talk about Nick, so like he should be his like fifth member, you know. But yeah, he was just a great guide on this record, but from song to song as well. This song we're glad it made the cut, and glad it's the first thing to put out in the world.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, those writing sessions, because I think a way most bands kind of do it these days is they sit down and they write their crop of songs and then they kind of go into the studio with the producer and whittle it down. So if Nick was kind of involved in this process from the beginning, did you guys like just go to his house and just sat around with guitars and wrote stuff?
He opened up his studio to us. How long? What, like from the beginning?
I think we started... it was over a year ago.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of last year, really. And it was just that. It was go in and what do you got? Who's got something? Let's hear it. And we'd go from there, literally. Or just sit down and jam, like Uncomfortable. I know Joe had a bunch of riffing. I don't know how we ended up going from the fat, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I don't remember the whole process of it all, but it was just that. And for quite a number of songs, I mean, in that first batch, I don't know what else made it to the record, but we probably jammed out, which would actually be fun to listen to someday.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe someday we'll listen to like the 10 other songs that probably didn't make it, that were just jams that may have not even had lyrics or vocals or anything.
Yeah, maybe they'll be for the next record, some of it. But this particular song, like we have a version with a completely different ending. We recorded it like 5 or 6 times over, so like we really got to know the song before it ended up being in its final stage, which, like what you just said, on our previous records, that's usually how we would do it. We would write whenever we could because we were busy all the time, and then quick, you know, okay, then pick a producer, and then and then go and record everything and then whittle it down. And this time we just kind of did it completely in the opposite way. So
we did it like we used to do it.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
It's a lot more involved and a lot more work and a lot more rewarding too. But yeah, it's I understand why people get into the notion of just, you know, let's write some songs, we find a producer, here are the songs, let's hit record. But it speeds things up, it makes sense. But this was like, this is a blast. This is like back to our basement days, yeah. You know, of just wake up one in the afternoon and go down in the basement and just start making noise.
Were there any other things that you tried differently on this album than the previous album?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, I think everything, honestly.
Well, that narrows it down.
Yeah, just to start, everything. No, I mean, like, you know, with Nick, I mean, one of his goals as producing our record is what he has told us is to keep us, I don't know, to bring out what he sees in us as a fan of Hailstorm. So like we decided early on we're going to double down on rock. We're not going to go in a strange left. We're not going to go for the pop grab. It's just let's do what we would do in our basement, you know, and without any, you know, outside stuff. And so it's been fun to go through that and to really, he kept us kind of in the lane, out of the gutter, you know, like if it's a bowling alley, he used the bumpers, but he kept it out of the gutter. It's a terrible analogy.
It's a good picture though. You know, I see where you're going
just keeping
with
us out of the gutter. But it's interesting too, because like with us, like we said, like we had, you know, multiple versions of every song. We would come back from a tour and be like, ooh, what about this? You know, like let's go back and listen. So we really got to like kind of get inside these songs before we release it into the public, which again, on previous records, we don't really know whether anyone's really going to care until we release it. And then usually we're like, as we develop it live, we'll be like, oh, we should have done that. So like this time, like we've gotten to the final versions of these songs by now. And also we were just talking about that, like recording, as far as, vocally, like a lot of these things, he was, on a lot of the last records, like as far as vocally with me, like everyone just kind of, okay, can you do that prettier? And I can do a lot of things with my voice, but this particular time we would do things as a performance, like, so, you know, we would start from the beginning of the song and there's no like flying in that chorus three more times. The second chorus, you're singing the second chorus because you're going to sing the second chorus differently now that you're through the song. And then a lot of times he's like, I really like this take. And I'm like, that was like the first take. I'm just waking up, dude. He's like, I know, but that's what I like about it. Look at, there's like this rasp in your voice, like on Heart of Novocaine. And I'm like, he's like, there's this rasp in your voice. Like, I don't hear that on any of your recordings. I'm like, I know, because I'm usually like warmed up for the other recordings. So he did a lot of that. He brought a lot out of RJ. I mean, you're going to hear my little brother, and you've met him. You know, he's a loud individual.
He is a wonderful human being.
You usually hear him before you see him.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And Nick, I think, is the first person to really capture that on tape. So I can't wait for everyone to hear the record.
When you're going out to record, I assume you have like, you know, some favorite guitars that you're going to bring with you. What kind of gear did you guys use? Because I think, Lizzie, I saw a picture of you with one of Nick's guitars. Did that make it on the record? You know, Josh, what guitars are you bringing with you?
Yeah, I stuck to a lot of what Nick had. I brought my stuff. On the last song, I have a 69 EB3, Gibson EB3, and I used that, which was really cool. I'm glad that thing made it on. But otherwise, he's got this. What is it? It's an early 70s P bass. And like for the first half of the record, I was using that. And it's like the Foo Fighters, when they recorded with them, he ended up using Foo Fighters bass. I ended up using that bass. Like everyone comes to me like, wow, this thing just really sings. And it does. It's just this bright, just really clear, you know, tone to it, which is great for a bass. Right. But I ended up using that. And then somewhere at some point switched over. He's got a Geddy Lee jazz bass. Yeah. And it's like, it just, I don't know. It's so funny because the P bass sounded awesome. But then, whoa, this thing sounds really cool. And I use that for the other half of the record. There's one song, Heart of Novocaine. I used early 70s tele bass with the single humbucker on the at the neck pickup, and I'm trying to think if I used. Oh, I used a fretless. He's got a Gibson grabber, or is it a ripper?
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, ripper. Ripper. Yeah, it's a ripper. Fretless ripper, and I use that on one song. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else.
That's a lot of cool stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
You ended up using the 12 string.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Lizzie has a 12 string Waterstone. That she got
from Cheap Trick
from Tom Peterson.
Awesome.
And
we're
we're like, dude, we used your bass on a record. And so yeah, that made it in there. Yeah, we went crazy. We used everything. Yeah.
Yeah, if it was within grabbing reach, you know, grabbing distance, we used it. For me, yeah, like with Nick, he had a lot of 70s amps, a lot of, you know, 70s Marshall, JCM, you know, just the plexis and everything. So we created this really big sound, and it was really fun to work with Nick, you know, on guitars, because with myself and Joe, there being two guitars in Hailstorm, we both kind of cover each other's asses, so to speak, you know, and we'll actually end up switching parts live sometimes too, depending on who's part was too complicated to do while we're dancing around being ridiculous on stage, you know. But anyway, so yeah, I used a lot of his gear. He has an amazing Les Paul custom that I'm, you know, it's just I fell in love with. I used for a lot of the record. Then we used my Gibson Explorer, and I ended up giving him one, so it's actually his Explorer now. Oh, the Firebird made it on. Yeah, the Black Firebird made it on there too. Yeah, it just, you know, it was just dependent on the song and what part you're playing. For me, he had me doing a lot of, and this is a technical term, a lot of skadooshing, which is just a lot of, and he's like, we need triple skadoosh right here. So I was like, I want it like right before every chorus. You just got to kick it in. We need more skadooshes. So yeah, so like I became a master of the skadoosh thanks to Nick. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun, man. It's like he's so animated in just the way that he approaches recording, and he's such a nerd in the best way possible of for everything, like gear, guitars, drums. And so like he really, I don't know, he just made us feel comfortable, and I think brought the best out of us because of that.
Yeah. If we can delve down that music nerd hole just a little deeper, tell us a little quickly about your new signature model guitar.
Oh yeah, so decided to release the dark version of my Gibson Explorer, and I kept all the specs mostly the same, except for it's reverse now. It's black instead of white, gold hardware. The only difference is that instead of the rosewood neck, I ended up doing rich light, which at first I was like, I don't know if this is the right idea, but it's amazing because it worked out kind of perfectly, because it has this kind of darker, richer sheen over the whole thing, so I'm able to like pretty much, you know, use both of these guitars in our set just depending on the song and for different reasons. So yeah, and then there's talk of more things to come, actually, considering.
Good.
So yes,
speaking of talking about things to come, quick questions that I don't know if I'm allowed to ask.
Uh-oh.
Album title and release date.
Oh, we already announced that today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. See, if you had asked me yesterday, I would have been like, damn it, I want to tell you. So album is called Vicious.
Good.
And July 27th, yeah, that's
right.
When the album is.
Vicious, July 27th. You guys got, you just got off the road a little bit. I think you got more touring plans coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
We just got off our first leg with In This Moment and New Year's Day, which is awesome because I've never been surrounded by more girls on tour ever. It's kind of weird because like then you really start noticing like how many dude qualities you just kind of like, and I say qualities, you just soak in over the years, you know, even you know, just being a girl, it's like, you know, I'm used to hanging with a bunch of dudes. So you know, when you have a bunch of girls that are like asking you for like, you know, do you have like a hair straightener, and I'm like, actually, I don't think I do, because no one has ever really asked me that before, you know, besides some emo guy at one point. But yeah, really, seriously, I think the one time I was asked, it was a dude.
I never go anywhere without my hair straightened.
Right? Obviously, it's beautiful. No, but I digress. No, it's been really cool. And for me, like between, you know, Maria and I and also Ash Costello, we're all really good friends. We've been friends for years, but we're always so busy that we can never see each other. So we decided this like years ago, we're like, we have to do a tour together. And so we booked the tour, and then, you know, the state of the world that we're in right now, like all of this stuff started happening. And so we kind of found ourselves in the middle of this movement that became, we didn't realize how important the tour was going to be until we were in it. And so it's been just really neat to just celebrate, you know, not just being women in general, but being women in the rock genre and just showing, you know, what that means to us. And it's been great. The guys have been wonderful too on the tour. You guys have been great.
Thank you.
Yes. We were just joking about that earlier about like the girls, like we just, there's some really, really dirty jokes that have been coming from the girls, and the guys, like they take more showers because there's a bunch of girls around, and it's like, so there's been a little bit of a role reversal, which is, it's been kind of nice. Actually, it's been nice. You've always been clean though, Josh. You've always been. Great hygiene.
Let that go on the record. Yes. Josh has great hygiene.
He's a clean man. Yeah. He's a clean man.
Mama taught me well.
I think there's another set of dates coming in late summer for that.
Yeah, so that's coming July something. I'm the wrong person to ask. All right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the second leg of second leg of the tour starts end of July. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to picking up where we left off with them. And yeah, it goes all over. I think they've been released, but it's going to be great. We're going to be up in Maine in the summertime. We go all the way out to the West Coast. It's going to be lovely.
So when they're rolling through your town, go out and see them. That's a commandment.
He said it, not me.
The band is Hailstorm, the album Vicious. It's out July
27th.
July 27th. Mm-hmm. Get your recommended daily allowance of Skidoosh.
Yes.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, man. So much.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.